Chapter 25. Telling the Lord What to Do. You have probably heard this ancient Chinese proverb, "The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step." French author André Gide put it like this: "Man cannot discover new oceans unless he has the courage to lose sight of the shore." If you want to guarantee you'll never follow Jesus, require him to show you all that lies ahead before you take the first step. Can we truly follow Christ if we aren't willing to trust his lead, his word, his heart? Many Christians today hear the words of Christ, even claiming to believe on him, yet refuse to step out in faith on God's word, since they can't see how things will turn out. But are we expected to know step two before taking step one? Our role is to obey. Let's not over-spiritualize obedience. God doesn't require you to understand the reasons he is saying what he is saying. It's not about satisfying your intellect, but about his worthiness to be obeyed unconditionally. As we discussed earlier, if we obey Jesus Christ only when we understand what is being said, we treat him as a teacher. When we obey, even when we don't know why he is asking what he is asking, we exalt him as Lord. The psalmist marveled over the beauty of God's word, declaring, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path," Psalm 119:105. It's not a floodlight to illuminate the journey, but a lamp to clarify the next step. Certainly, God can show the details of the future, but perhaps in his kindness, he withholds certain information from us to spare us the needless cares we might otherwise attempt to carry. I have asked God on many occasions why he wouldn't show me the bigger picture. I wanted to know how things would work out. The only response I sensed in my spirit went something like, "Nathan, if I showed you the next few steps, your eyes would be on your plans rather than on me." It's easy to desire to obey as long as God first shows us where our obedience might lead. Could it be that the logistics of our journey are veiled so that we might not be so focused on our agenda that we miss the intimacy of knowing Christ step by step? When we don't know the next step, we are compelled to look at the one leading. Do we ask God for the outline of our lives when we ought to be asking him how we are to obey him today? Remember this: instead of running from your circumstances, let your circumstances accelerate your run to the Lord Jesus. He is more interested in changing our character than our circumstances. Notice what happened prior to the words we have been examining in Matthew 16:24. Jesus gathered his disciples together and took a poll, asking, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" Matthew 16:13. After receiving an array of answers, he flipped the question toward them and said, "Who do you say that I am?" Matthew 16:15. We are not told if there was first a period of awkward silence, but we are told that Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Matthew 16:16. Following this interaction, the scriptures tell us from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Matthew 16:21. Notice how Peter takes over. "And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, 'God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen to you.' But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not on the side of God, but of men.'" Matthew 16:22-23. How thankful we can be that the Word of God includes these not-so-glamorous moments in the lives of Jesus' disciples so that we might be reminded of our own frailties and learn lessons of eternal value. when we tell the Lord what to do. One of the consequences of Peter trying to lead was this. He lost sight of who was actually in control. How often do we address Jesus as Lord and then tell him what to do? Life becomes more confusing than it needs to be when we call Jesus Lord and then dictate the next step. This is precisely what Martha did when she called Jesus Lord and in the next statement told him what to do. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Luke 10:40. The call of Jesus Christ to you and me today is simple and clear. Follow me. We are not to question his directions, nor to contest his authority. We are to follow him. When we want the crown before the cross. Peter fell into error the moment he started to think he had been given the reins. In the mix of Christ's commentary on his impending suffering and death, Peter and the other disciples totally miss Christ's clear foretelling of his resurrection. In fact, the only ones who remembered Christ's prediction to rise from the dead after his crucifixion were those who called for his execution, Matthew 27:63. It's easy to miss the glory God wants to reveal through our lives simply because we are unwilling to walk the journey that leads to this demonstration of his power. Peter wanted to skip the cross and go straight to the crown. What he did not yet understand is that there is no crown without the cross. Where are you tempted to eye the crown without first enduring the cross? When Lazarus was ill and dying, Jesus told those listening, "This sickness does not lead to death, but that the glory of God might be revealed through it." John 11:4. Hang on. Did Lazarus die? Just a half chapter later? Yes. Why then would Jesus say, "This sickness does not lead to death"? In the same way a trip to the supermarket doesn't lead to a traffic light or a stop sign. The way to a supermarket may lead through numerous lights and signs before we arrive at the destination. However, the journey doesn't lead to these things, only through these things. In the same way, your journey in taking up your cross and following Christ toward his glorious eternal kingdom will lead through many trials and testings, but it does not lead to them. Life, not death, is at the end of our earthly pilgrimage. When Jesus beckons, "Follow me," he is articulating in no uncertain terms that suffering will come. He shared with the disciples about his impending suffering and crucifixion, and then issued the invitation to take up their cross and follow. It is the same for us. We follow where he has led, knowing the last chapter is about our resurrection and eternal joy in his presence. When we try to take the lead. Here's a third negative consequence of trying to lead. When Peter tried to get Jesus to bypass the cross, Jesus bluntly said, "Get behind me, Satan," Matthew 16:23. In saying that to Peter, Jesus was identifying where Peter's idea came from. Satan wants to delete the cross from our thinking. Satan means adversary. Instead of following Jesus, Peter was seeking to lead, and by rejecting the cross, he had become a functional enemy of the Savior. Paul warned the Philippian church about this. "For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things." Philippians 3:18-19. When our mind becomes set on earthly possessions, precautions, prestige, and position, we lose sight of the one we are following, and we distract others from seeing him, making us adversaries of Christ's cross. This is a serious warning to the church. There are many adversaries roaming our churches today, and we can identify them by how they claim Christ but try to avoid the cross. Adversaries can dress up like disciples and even be quick to give the right answers, yet remain unwilling to follow the Lord Jesus where he is leading. Peter's problem was identified by Christ. You are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Matthew 16:23. Later, the Holy Spirit expanded on the statement of Jesus. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Colossians 3:1-4. Do we want to follow Christ, but on our own terms? Are we holding on to our grudges, our worries, our past, our sin? Are we clinging to anything that might hinder us from walking intimately with Christ? Do not be overwhelmed. Remember your no condemnation status as a believer. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. The call of Christ is not about trying harder to be perfect. You are already clothed in his perfect righteousness. The Lord Jesus calls you simply to follow him as you enjoy the comfort of his amazing love and grow under the faithful conviction of his Holy Spirit. Remember, the enemy harshly condemns, but the Spirit gently convicts until Christ is formed in you. Galatians 4:19.